Brain Candy Podcast, episode 783, and it is now February.
Woo, yeah. I don't want to be one of those people that's like, it's my birthday month.
Oh my God. But it is your birthday month.
But it is my birthday month. And birthdays have become so much more fun. Like, I was always the kid who was envious of the people who had summer birthdays because they all got to do the pool party. And then I was really jealous of people who had fall birthdays because then they could do a Halloween theme birthday. You know, I would love a costume theme party. And I felt like February was like, ugh, that's a shitty month for a birthday. It's
wow.
cold.
The summer birthdays, we were envious of people who got to celebrate in a classroom setting.
Oh, because
you get attention that day.
You do get attention, but it felt like the day where maybe a parent might have shown up with cupcakes for the whole class, and mom was a working mom, single working mom, and she's not the baker. She is very good at making many wonderful Italian meals, but not quite the baker. So yeah, that wasn't a big one for me where I really cared. And I don't like that. Mm. Like, I don't like want the, I just want the party. So that's all changed now that I live in a place where I get to have my favorite kind of birthday, which is your least favorite kind of day, a powder day.
Oh my God.
So
is that what you won't be able to do this year, will you?
I'm hoping.
Okay.
It should be at the exact time where I am healed enough to be able to do moderate, strenuous activity.
You're going to have to get that cleared with me beforehand.
Okay. I will. I definitely will. Mean, we'll probably do some like tests. You know, my brother will probably probably jump on one foot for a while or something. I don't know.
What if you fall though and bust open your gut?
Okay. Well, this is what we talked to the doctor about this because Eli was like, Sarah, let's stop wasting time and ask him the question you really want to ask. How long till she's skiing and snowboarding again? And he said, the good thing is,
like, having babies or.
Right. There's not at all. That he can't. Oh my God. Get this. Nothing can go in there for 14 weeks.
In there?
In there.
You mean penises?
Or fingers or tampons.
Let's name everything that could go.
Anything you could. They were like, nothing.
14 weeks?
14 weeks.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that like the same as having a fucking baby?
I mean, that. Do you mean the gestation period of a human?
No, I mean how long they will say after you have had a baby before you can like engage.
I think that's longer. I think it's only like maybe 6 weeks or something.
Cheesy, crazy, lemon squeezy. Okay.
That is a long
time. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
So
I'm shocked
by this. I won't be doing any of that kind of riding for a while. So maybe riding a snowboard.
I guess so.
What I have to settle on.
Sarah's going to be doing some different kinds of things.
Know so much about me.
And Eli. In this case.
Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
What a guy.
What a guy.
What
wow.
a guy.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, be careful out there.
Yeah. And you know, there are a lot of ways to be intimate. So.
That's what I mean. You're going to get experimental.
I know. I'm looking for like nice foot massages or something. Like.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's romantic.
You know, yeah.
That's not where my head was.
Oh, well,
I'm going to be honest. Well, I shouldn't be giving any GD advice about safety.
Oh, why?
We had an incident over here.
No! Susie, we're going to have to get you one of those signs that says, I'm going to imagine how, for those of you who can't see the video version, she has I can only describe as like a cartoon version of
totally
thumb wrapping.
Is.
Like, you know, when you see in cartoons and they've got the throbbing thumb and they wrap it with gauze and there's a big like medical.
It's like
red,
comically big
this
gauze.
This is her thumb right now, people.
What
on earth happened? Was this a kitchen incident?
Yeah.
Oh no. And I know that you have, I know you sharpen your knives on the regular.
Yeah. I said to Adam, you know how they say like, the most dangerous thing in your kitchen is a dull knife. And I'm like, I beg to differ.
Oh, God. Okay, please. I want to know, but I don't want to know.
It's
but
pretty
I
bad.
Know.
Okay.
Oh, did you have stitches?
No. There was nothing to stitch, really, because
I know what you're going to say. The surface stuff is even worse.
No. I chopped off the tip of my thumb and watched it roll across my cutting board.
Here's the thing, guys. I have too good of an imagination. I want to throw up when I picture these things. So people are like, Sarah, calm down. This is my best friend and her thumb rolling.
I mean, that is a true story. I can still feel it. And like when it happened, feels kind of like when you chop through a carrot. And
this is why I know I could never be a serial killer.
Yeah, yeah. You're too squeamish. You have the temperament, but you have the morality, but just not the,
not the
stomach for it.
Not the stomach for it. Suze, like a carrot.
Yeah, so then I saw it, and I screamed, and then I said I chopped the top of my thumb off, and then Lincoln screamed that scream of, like, blood curdling. Like, it was as if he cut off his.
I'm so upset that I can't plug my ears right now. I'm, like, trying to, like,
okay,
like,
well,
go
we
there.
Can move on.
No, I want to hear her. Like, it's, again, I don't, but I do. So then what? You did because you can't stitch it because there's nothing to close it. Oh my God. You're going to have a missing chunk. You're going to have a funny shaped thumb.
Yeah. It was sort of like the maximum amount that you could take off without going to, you know, cause I'm not, it wasn't big enough to like put in a bag and like keep it and go, you know, but it was big enough where I'm like, whoop, there's my finger over there.
Oh my God. How did you not pass out? I want to pass out right now.
I don't know, but it really bled for a long time and I'm just glad it wasn't worse. And I'm also glad it was that finger because I can still type because that's like the one.
It's the, not the one you're cutting with.
It could have been a lot worse is what I'm saying.
Oh my God. What
anyway,
were you cutting?
It sucks. What? Chives. Not even something you'd be like, oh, I can see that.
Right, like an onion or something where it slipped and, oh my God, be careful out there, Suze.
No kidding. Anyway, so that sucked. And
staring
it's
in
one
wonder
of those things where
at
like,
your finger as it rolls across the floor.
Well, I feel wonder about the way the human body heals itself, for sure. Like
absolutely.
Even the next day when I removed this stuff and I looked at it and I thought, it's amazing because as soon as you get an injury, your body starts working to heal.
Yeah.
And it is miraculous, really.
It's really, really crazy.
But because remember I read that book, it's called The Body by Bill Bryson, and it describes the process of healing. Mm-hmm. And it really felt like, wow, that it's, you know how people say like that kind of thing can make them like faithful, believe, you know, in God and stuff, because it does feel like, how did this all come together, whatever. But it's just one of those things where you wish you could go back in time and be more careful. And the regret is not pleasant.
I thought you were going to say that you like did it where you sliced maybe your fingernail off or one of those, but
a whole chunk
of your thumb.
And it was sitting over there with like the nail still on it.
Oh, my fucking God.
It's so gross.
I was in my mind picturing just, nope, it's even further than I thought it was.
Yeah.
I can't
looking
be
at
a
that
parent.
Like, oh, that's my nail.
Could you imagine this with a child?
It would be so much worse if it were Lincoln. I would be much more upset. So
for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Like I want to cry for you right now. Cause I'm like imagining your pain and what that would, and the moment where you are deciding, do we put it on ice that there's enough of it to do that?
Right.
Yeah. We're going to have to get you one of those signs that says like 0 days since last accident, 20 days since last accident, and just like really try to,
it's a weird thing to throw away a body part too, like to toss it in the garbage with the rest of the chives. I know, weird, right?
Anyway. Somehow it feels like at a certain, where's the line? Because at a certain point it becomes a crime, doesn't it?
For real.
And like, if it's like disposing of your own, I have questions about
that. I know.
That.
Yeah. It's weird.
Can you dispose of body parts of your own?
Yeah,
if you like cut a finger off?
I think you can toss it.
Okay.
I just hope it grows back. And I'll tell you what is growing back. That's my hair, thanks to Nutrafol.
I feel like the stress and the anxiety of even thinking about these kind of accidents is enough to make my hair fall out. So
I know. But for real, like whenever I had the hair accident of 2022,
yes.
It does feel dramatic because you know how long it takes for hair to grow back. So if you have thinning or you would like to experience a full head of hair like I am now, look at that. Look, yeah. That's a lot of hair up there.
So I remember what that's like. I see the before and after.
Yeah.
That is really amazing. And I really notice it, especially on the side of my temples right here. Mm-hmm. That's the part where it's thinner, thinned out a little. And
I know.
Yeah. To get more scalp coverage.
It's the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Start your hair growth journey today by taking Nutrafol's hair wellness quiz and get your personalized hair health plan today. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping at Nutrafol.com/quiz. When you enter the promo code BRAINCANDY, take the quiz and get started on reaching your hair wellness goals with Nutrafol today. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code BRAINCANDY. That's Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code BRAINCANDY. First of all, you and I talked about the documentary that was coming out called Subject that was about
people
that have been in documentaries.
Yes, I want to see this.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah, I got to write this down.
I had to rent it. Like, you can't stream it for free, I don't think. Okay. Prime Video. It's called Subject, and it's about people who have been in documentaries and the sort of ethical questions that documentarians should be asking. And so they covered, Capturing the Freedmans.
Oh, yes.
Wolfpack. Hoop Dreams, some of the really big documentaries that have come out. And so then the subjects of them have become well known it changed their life to be a part of it. It did remind me of how we talk about how, when you were cast on Road Rules or Real World, you're going into it as one person, and then that person is altered because of their participation in the thing.
Always say the things that I want to say in such a good way. I was having a conversation just the other day trying to explain all of that. It probably took me 30 sentences to do it. And that is it. You go in one way and you come out changed because of that experience.
And that's such a strange thing that the very thing that's, portraying who you are then alters that identity.
Yeah.
That's fascinating to me
because
we've lived it. And also documentaries are so popular now that there's so many people that are being followed and they're still having to sort of rely on the filmmaker to tell the story reliably.
Right. And I do think it's similar to what we've experienced where it's all the bad and none of the good. Where this doesn't come with a big paycheck or any sort of job opportunities or social, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Upward movement, but it's almost the opposite. It's more people critical of, I don't know, actions, behaviors, things that have happened.
Yeah, and then you become not just the subject of the film, but just the subject of opinions of the people that watch it too.
Yes. Yes.
And that's strange.
Yep.
I don't think it took a hard position about this is wrong and this is right and this is how it should be done, but it just raised questions. I'm unsure of my opinion about this, but there's often been this debate about whether documentary filmmakers should pay the subjects. So,
oh, It does change people's behavior, though.
So, on one side, there's this idea that it would affect the plot or the narrative or whatever. It could, bastardize it in a way, you know? But then there's this weirdness about, you're asking people to work for free then.
Right.
And a lot of times documentary subjects are already vulnerable and exploited in other ways. That's why maybe they're participating, the Wolfpack guys.
Right.
Or whoever. And so, that seems wrong, too, to not pay them for their work.
Yeah. What about something where it came after the release or the filming and release of the
They did say that the documentarians that made Hoop Dreams, which followed these inner city kids who had dreams of playing basketball. And they, after the film became a huge success and it did generate a lot of revenue, the filmmakers split it with anybody that had a speaking part in the documentary.
That's great.
So they distributed it however way. And then it changed those people's lives. You know, Yeah, they were compensated, but perhaps didn't affect the way that they behaved. Because I don't know if they knew that going in.
Right.
Or whether they found out later. But
that seems fair.
That
seems very fair.
Because they make a ton of money now. It's not like the olden days where it was like on PBS for one night or whatever.
Right. These are the number one most streamed things on Netflix or, you know, whatever. Like Tinder Swindler, please.
Right.
And it's funny that they're making money off a show, but people taking advantage of you making money.
That's the thing. These people get sort of re-exploited.
Right.
In a way. But people, I think there is this urge in most people to tell their story. People want to be seen. Mm-hmm. And that by participating, they feel like it's almost like making a mark in the world. You matter. And that has value to some people.
Yeah. And then, you bring the awareness and attention to maybe somebody who wasn't going to get that in any other way.
Well, and we like to imagine that these documentarians are just this artists. We think of them differently than we think of a director of a normal film.
Right. Right.
You know, you think of them as just
telling a story and
they're storytellers and they just believe in the film and they'll do it for $3.
Right.
But they have an incentive to make it clickbaity too, in the same way that MTV does, really.
Yeah. Especially now, especially with the style of documentary that's really popular.
Oh,
they
feel
very... You need
very, a big jinx moment.
Yes.
Oh, he's confessing on a hot mic.
Yeah. Or the... I see a lot of documentaries do this half scripted, half documentary style, The Social Dilemma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, where they have a family kind of playing out these scenes of interacting with technology and how it's affecting their relationships and stuff like that. And simultaneously interviewing experts and going through the history.
Yeah.
And
they blur the line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it does feel very music video, commercial, fast-paced, graphics. And
I mean, most people delineate between before Super Size Me and after Super Size Me. That was sort of a big moment.
The other one was Bowling for Columbine and Michael Moore. I would throw him in that. Category of people who changed the way we do it.
And I'm glad. I'm so glad the genre is popular and there's so many great films being made. But I think this film was great because it was asking the questions it was probably time to ask in a bigger way. I'm sure a lot of the people that participate in these films need some therapy afterwards. And I would suggest to them to maybe try BetterHelp because BetterHelp sponsors our show and we love them.
Yes. Let me tell you, getting a therapist is a hard thing to do. Sometimes you have to, not sometimes, most often, you have to jump through a lot of hoops to do it. Not with BetterHelp.
Yeah.
I am so happy with the therapist that I have on there. And it's just been great.
Yeah. They have therapists that specialize in whatever it is that ails you or worries you or is stressing you out, and you can pick amongst them and specify what you are interested in. And it's entirely online, so it's convenient. You don't have to worry about finding your way anywhere, and you can suit it to your schedule, so it's flexible. Become your own soulmate. Ooh, I like that idea.
Yes.
Whether you're looking for one or not, visit betterhelp.com/braincandy today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/braincandy. Oh, I get it, because it's, you know, it's February. People are thinking about relationships.
Oh,
it's
yes. That time of year. Yeah, you got to love yourself first.
Well, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Everyone else is questionable at best. Okay, so that was good. I would recommend that. Maybe it'll be a Candy Club pick sometime. It would be fun to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, there was
That's just like the responsible thing to do as a club.
I know.
That watches documentaries.
Yeah, and since we've watched so many of the ones that they talk about in the movie, it would be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Okay. Oh, this was funny to me. I mean, this is just a little something, but it made me laugh. Did you read about how ESPN got caught in like a scheme to get their hosts Emmys?
What?
This is cracking me up.
This is funny because I feel like, isn't everybody trying to get an Emmy? Like, what's the difference between being in a scheme to get one and just trying real hard?
Yeah. Okay. The scheme was that if a show wins in a certain category, the production staff gets the Emmy, but the hosts don't. If the host wants an Emmy, they have to win in like the host category.
Right. Because they're not the ones making the show and producing and picking.
Yeah, it's a separate whole standard and skill set or whatever. And so they are separate.
Yeah.
But ESPN cooked up this plan where like whenever they would apply or whatever the word is where you apply for an Emmy to be considered, you fill out like who's on the crew. And so they'd list all these names and then they would include some made up names. And then when they won, they would scrub out those names and re-engrave these GD Emmys with like the host's names. So if like the host's name was Sarah Rice, they would put like Sarah Ronalds. And then they would just have to like get rid of the half of that second word and redo it.
Like before they made and I don't know, do they engrave it or what?
Yeah, they engrave the Emmys. Engrave them and send them to ESPN.
And then ESPN?
And then they would remove their engraving and re-engrave them.
Please. That's
engraved.
This really supports my argument of how men are little whiny babies.
I thought the same thing.
This is
no
this
woman
really,
was involved in this.
This really supports how I say that if you want to see how men are more dramatic than women, all you have to do is watch SportsCenter.
Yes.
And
like
all
their
those
egos
guys
are
in the morning,
so fragile.
And they're all yelling at each other and they're all worked up about, you know, who
dumb
tackled
stuff. Yes.
Right.
Right. For real.
This is.
It's so great.
So
it's the ultimate participation trophy.
Right. I was just going to say, these are all the same people guaranteed that are like, we don't like that there are participation trophies. You have to earn it.
Yes.
Unless you are a male host of a ESPN sports show, you little freaking babies.
Is designed around competition. That is the whole point of what ESPN is.
Susie.
Yeah.
This is
so great.
In probably my top 10 now favorite controversial television moments because of how what this actually means and what this represents and
like the pettiness.
Yeah.
And the fragility of these grown-ass men.
Oh my
god. Are fine.
So
why would
great.
You even want that? I wouldn't even want an Emmy that really wasn't Miami.
Me either. That's what I'm saying. It's like, we all know who I'm trying to think of like a good analogy for what this is like, but this is just, it's so funny to me that they need it erased. I was thinking maybe they would submit it and then when, I don't know, the Emmys are finalizing, like, you know, make sure we got all the spelling right. And then they'd put it in there. But mm-mm. this is a aftermarket parts going on.
Totally.
That Emmy. And which like, makes it null and void.
I don't even think they really got in trouble, though, either, because they just had to give back, like, a bunch of Emmys that were not real people. Like, there were 37 of these trophies that they required them to return.
Oh, my, but, like, I have to know who the people are. And can you imagine being on that crew and being like, oh, God, we gotta hang on. It'll take a little while to get ours.
Yeah, yours needed some extra special.
And then whose house do you think it goes to? Not the people who really deserve it. Probably that host. You're going to go to all the trouble to faking the name on there. Or do they keep them at the office? Where do they keep those?
I think they distribute them. I think so. Because people would want them. You know, if you won an Emmy and had your name on it.
Yeah. So the person who should be receiving that.
It's not existent. There is no one. So they would do the whole crew and then just add like three names to the list of names that don't exist. Like,
right.
And then would re-engrave it with the host name. So nobody got ripped off.
Okay. But if you, so say it's Brain Candy and it's the producers who are supposed to win the
Yeah. They would
award.
Get them too.
Oh, so they get them too.
Yeah. Cause you would turn in a list.
So and they put multiple Emmy, like if a whole crew wins, each person on that crew gets their own?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that's how it worked. I always thought that they, I don't know, they got to like rock, paper, scissors for it or like,
or keep
I don't
it
know.
In the studio or something.
Yeah. Wow. News to me. No idea
so
how Emmys
work. So let's say there's 30 people on the crew and two hosts. Then they would write up 32 names. And then the last two were just like, you know, John Smith.
Yeah. I got that, but I didn't know that. That's how many, man, they got to make a fuck ton of those Emmys.
Yeah, right. They're not that special.
There's some company that is staying in business because of just that.
Really fancy paperweights. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now I their scheme has been exposed.
Wow. That is great.
Super funny.
That is such, what a treat. I'm going to drop that at the Super Bowl party.
For real. Imagine what a big deal it would have been had like Barbara Walters or Oprah done that. That's all anyone would talk about. And you
they
hadn't even
have
heard about this
afterwards.
I know. They'd be canceled for having like bad
my God.
Characters.
I can't wait to learn who it is. Okay.
Oh, I'm falling apart over here. Yes. I'll tell you what everyone does deserve though. And that is to get financial freedom through Rocket Money, which I love.
Absolutely.
And is so empowering and awesome because Rocket Money helps you figure out where your money's going and then get rid of the expenses that are unnecessary or you didn't even realize. Like if you had a streaming service that you didn't want or a magazine subscription, you're like, I don't even read that.
Yep.
So they tell you, here's what your subscriptions are. If you don't want them, we'll cancel them for you. And if this bill seems high, they'll negotiate it down on your behalf.
I love it.
Don't even have to do anything.
They've saved me hundreds of dollars.
And the pain of being on a telephone, which I do not ever want to be.
No, never, ever, ever. I don't even like asking people for things. So I don't want to be like, oh, hi, excuse me. Can you make
sorry to bother
I want
you.
To pay less money. I'm not having that conversation. Rocket Money's going to do that.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/braincandy. That's rocketmoney.com/braincandy, rocketmoney.com/braincandy. One of my favorites. I always tell people that. It's one of my favorite
partners.
Yeah, it really is. All right, moving on. That was fun. All right. I have been wanting to tell you about this for a while, but I'm always hesitant because I'm like, is this a good story or is it just
me? Yeah, those are always the stories that are really good. That every time that happens, you always say that about ones that I've held on to.
Okay. Well, this one was in the Washington Post, and it was about the high-stakes art of naming new apartment buildings.
Oh.
And I just found it so funny because obviously we all know that apartment buildings can have names, but I certainly never thought about the process involved.
I definitely think about how the name of an apartment sets the tone for the kind of people who will live there, the kind of vibe they're looking for. There are always ones. Oh, there's one on the street that I drive down to get to my studio, and it's called The Roost or something like that.
Come on.
And I'm like, terrible fucking name. And then they even did, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. There's a picture of, I want to say it's of a rooster in one of the O's. So then it looks like it's, when I first saw it, I was like, does that say roast or what? I couldn't.
Right.
I'm like, terrible. These people clearly didn't read this article. So.
Right. Or maybe that's the clientele they were looking for. I don't know who that would be. But,
chickens?
Right. Like people that
farmers?
Love chickens. Quasi homesteaders.
Right.
Okay. So they apparently spend a ton of money on buying the naming service. So like, you know, an advertising agency or whatever will be hired for like between $5,000 and $50,000 to come up with like the perfect name. And
we're in the wrong business.
I mean, my friend, he's a writer, and he was once hired by a company to name their beer, like a beer line that they were making. And he came up with all these names. I thought they were all great, and they turned them all down. They had something to say about each one. And you just think, like, why don't they just pick one then? Like,
yeah.
It's so strange to me.
I've seen these kind of pitches that they do, or these packets they put together in that naming process.
Yeah.
And they give you like 100 pages on, you know,
why,
what this means, and the way it's perceived, and the other ways that people interpret these, like things that are so far reaching.
Yeah.
And they always look like, it could sound like,
come on,
give me a fucking
break.
We're
very busy out here. We're not thinking
like
about
this,
it.
The dot over the I represents the world and the unity of all the people. And you're like, it's a fucking dot over the I. Relax.
Yeah.
It could be live, or it could be live, and it could be like shows that it's like, hi. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yes. These companies will ask all these questions of like the apartment complexes, whoever owns it. And they'll be like, what kind of music do you expect to hear in the lobby? And like, what kind of person do you think would live here? And so then like this one example they did, they said, we joked one day that this would be where Fraser Crane would live, and said that they called it the Fraser. And, you know, like they think who would want to live here? We want like a high end. We want an elegant person.
I could have fucking done that for that. Like,
that's what I mean.
In the elevator ride from one floor to the next, I could have had a good, like,
well,
we could have come up
because
with a name.
One time we were talking about a certain someone who writes poetry, and Sarah was like, I could do that. And she wrote a poem right then in that moment.
I'm good.
You should actually maybe do this.
It's the place where an ADHD brain thrives.
Oh,
you
yeah.
want me to come up with relation, like how, what this, got it, done. I'll do that.
This one, it says, they decided because they wanted elegance, they were going to call it the signet, like the engraved ring.
Yeah.
But then they also considered a homophone, which is with a C and a Y, and then that means a young swan, because they talked about graceful animals. What?
And also, I don't like that name. The signet.
Well, maybe you weren't their target.
I definitely not. That's a person who has season tickets to the opera or the ballet.
They claim that it's one of the most difficult parts of the whole process, and it has to be memorable but broadly appealing, distinctive yet easy to say and spell.
Mm-hmm.
You need to ensure that Googling the name will bring people directly to your website.
Oh, and Signet was going to do that?
Right.
Please.
Come on now.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bring them directly to your website. Yeah.
Just like there's naming trends for restaurants that right now, two-word monikers connected by a plus sign are popular, you know, for restaurants. So too have particular conventions fallen in and out of favor in real estate. There are so many communities named something ranch or something farm. We don't need any more of those. So like, it reminds me of Elf whenever they were trying to think of the next children's book and that they had that little person come in and he has all these like ideas and he's like, no, peaches bruise too easily or whatever. Like they come up with all this stuff that's just made
up. Ridiculous. Totally made up.
Like when I got to the end of the article though, it was sort of like, okay, so this is how we think about it. We avoid words like plantation.
Yeah, for goodness sakes.
And any name of a person who owned a lot of land in the 1700s, good rule of thumb.
Very good rule of thumb. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
It's very hard for me to not giggle every time I see you using it.
Well, now I'm going to giggle because of the way you accurately pointed out that it's like a cartoon.
It is a cartoon.
When they smash their thumb with like a hammer.
Boom, 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 like throbbing.
But at the end of the article, it was sort of like, but usually it just comes down to like whatever the developer likes best. It's so subjective.
It really is. That's why what you're really paying for is that somebody to sell you on whatever their idea
is. They love
a
story.
And the better they sell you on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They want a story of why it's called that.
They should save their money because nobody cares. I'm telling you.
Did you see I think it was put on the internet. This was a couple years ago, but Pepsi did a rebrand and the company that did the rebrand for Pepsi came out with this marketing, the packet, explanation of why they're doing everything. Yeah. You've never heard something that's so far reaching and
for real.
Ridiculous. I'll find it and text it to you.
See, they're all making it up. I wish they would just admit
100%. And it cost them millions. I think it was like a $2 million job or something. So it was like the company said, oh fuck, we got to give them $2 million worth of,
totally
something. We can't just like give them this and be like, yeah, our intern thought of it. The end. That's not 2 million. So let's give them 100 pages of this. That's like a slide PowerPoint of bullshit.
Yeah.
It's very funny and totally worth the read.
I also read, it was either Esquire or GQ, but it was the article about how they come up with the names for cannabis strains.
Very funny. They all are so ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is Granddaddy Purple Kush. This is
Granddaddy.
What the fuck?
Yes. And so this writer wanted to see how they were doing it because they seem so funny. And it's sometimes you just think, how in the world did they land on this name? And they all sat around and did dope. I mean, I don't
imagine why that would be. They would do anything else.
It's like wine. Like they smelled it and said what notes they were picking up. And then the reason why it would not be like anything else is because once you smoke it, then you're high.
Right.
And so like, then you're picking a name under the influence of the thing. And so it just went real downhill real fast. Like it started really good.
Yeah.
Where they were coming up with some really clever stuff. And then it got to where they thought the stuff they were coming up with was very clever because they were high.
Exactly.
But it was like stupid.
Yeah, they definitely need to quit it with that. They're ridiculous.
And then
they
have to look in like Leafly's database to make sure there's not another like ice cream cone banana.
I have used Leafly as a resource before.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll also rank all of them on what the negative side effects are. So I find the ones that don't cause anxiety or anything like that. And they're very specific kinds you can use to.
Yeah. They take it seriously these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And gals.
But like sometimes a little too seriously. It's like,
Well, I think that's what we're noticing.
Yeah.
People are just wanting to make it seem like they're worth something.
Yeah.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, so let's see. I'm trying to decide. I don't know. I watched this really sweet documentary also on Prime Video about Highlights Magazine.
Oh, I love Highlights Magazine.
It's so great. You would love it.
It probably wouldn't surprise anybody if I said, like, I happen to have a subscription. They'd be like, yeah, that tracks. Like, I don't. But
did you ever have one?
No. No. You know, I may have had the trial, like, 6-month trial. I don't ever remember having
And then Rocket Money canceled it after it started charging you.
No, I had a different one that my grandma subscribed me to called Ranger Rick.
Oh my gosh.
That was the National Geographics for kids. It was like the little kid, that same kind of Highlights thing. And so I had that, but I loved those magazines and I definitely stole them from the doctor's office before.
Right. That's their big moneymaker is dentists and doctors that want them for the waiting room. But it was fascinating. I think it was from 2018 and they were chronicling the creation of their 70th anniversary issue. But it was just
70th anniversary.
No. Yeah.
Shit, man. They've been out for a while.
Yeah. And they, you know, told the story of how it was created and now it was family run still. And it's just extraordinary the care that is put into something that really you just would never know intuitively. Yeah. Like this took 9 months to make one issue.
You know what? This is ringing a bell.
Did you
watch? I feel like I maybe have seen this.
Oh my gosh. It didn't have as much of an effect on
you. No, it probably did because I have this image in my head of all of them sitting in a room together discussing like the, and then there was some kind of, is it going to come out yet? Is it going to get renewed thing? Maybe. I'll have to revisit that to see if I watched.
Well, it's very sweet and very, you do get the sense of like, wow, it's almost like the good news movement kind of thing where you're just like, these people are just diligently working and trying to educate kids and it's probably thankless, but they were like considering every detail, what colors we're going to include, what font, what recipe that for pizza or whatever they put in there is like the biggest deal. And I don't know, man.
It's really sweet.
It is sweet. And the kids that write in here was, I forget the exact number, but they were saying, you know, they get however many letters a month, 90% of them are from girls. And I thought that was very interesting. That is a huge difference.
Yeah. And well, maybe it has to do with that age and.
But they do from, I think they said 4 till 12. It was a huge age range too that they aim to meet. And because their rule is that they have to have equal representation for girls and boys, pretty much any boy that's writing a letter is getting the darn thing in the magazine, which annoys me.
Yeah.
Because that's their policy. It has to be equal regardless. So like a lot of times it's like, this isn't even that good.
Gosh, or
like
you got artwork a stack or of little girl papers that are
excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah. So anyway, if you're into that sort of thing, it's on.
I really want to know why the boy, there's such a difference in gender and because then I think if you were to look at the people who write in to papers and magazines that are, I don't know, for adults.
Yeah.
You would find more males writing.
I think so. Like letters to the editor?
Yes.
Well, actually?
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's probably a lot of.
And I wonder if the little girls are writing in, like, what is the subject matter? Is it, like, I love your magazine so much? Or are there questions that they're answering?
Yeah.
Something like that versus, you know.
Well, and they said, you know, a lot of them send in artwork. And so you only get a few boys doing it. And then a lot of the ones that they send in are like fucking guns or.
I can imagine.
They can't include them.
I know exactly
them.
What they are. Yeah.
Right? So violence and aggressive and stuff like that.
Always a gun with those little bullets like boop, 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 boop.
So it's fascinating sociological information because that is a huge difference, 90% versus 10%.
Very big.
Very sweet, though, and keep up the good work to the Highlights people, man.
Yeah. That is... Did you have a subscription to that?
No, man, that's for, like, rich kids, I right. thought.
Yeah. But
I remember one time in ninth grade, I was sitting behind this kid in class, and I was just joking. I almost said jagging. I was just joking with him, and I was like, hey, Andrew, do you get Highlights? And I meant in his hair. But he goes, oh, yeah, I just renewed my subscription. Like, he was all mad that I was implying that a ninth grader would get Highlights magazine.
That's a great mix-up.
I laughed so hard.
I love that. And that he has more of a relationship with
right.
Highlights the magazine than he does with right. Highlights and hair, knowing
oh, yeah,
what that is.
I just renewed my subscription.
Yeah. Willie.
I might your hair, man.
That's your hair. Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, I want to... I have to go back and see it. It sounds so familiar. I don't know, watched a preview for it or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it.
Last thing I will discuss before we leave. I was reading about how hobbies changed the home. Huh. And I thought it was so interesting because they were talking about how women and girls are discouraged from doing any hobbies that are like dangerous or noisy or messy or even like scientific really.
Right.
But boys and men are directed in that way, whether
yes.
it's like photography or chemistry sets and yeah. rockets and things like that.
Hit hammers. Yeah.
And so eventually they started including like sections of the house just for boys and men to have hobbies, like basements and sheds and workshops became like standardized, and the hobbies of men like couldn't be in like the regular house because they were disgusting. And so they had these special places in the home. And like before central heating, everyone used to hang out in the kitchen, and then because that was the only room that was hot enough, warm enough.
Yeah.
And then once central heating came, like the basement became functional and stuff. So like, men got all this new space and women were just still stuck in the kitchen.
That's like, interesting. I never thought about like how we do have designated places in the house for those kind of activities. And maybe it's just like,
and
the
like,
garage just happens to be where all those things are.
But also like the man cave whole thing.
Yeah.
That's like, where is the woman's spot?
Yeah. I'm going to put up a...
Yeah. That's like my equivalent.
It really is. But I'm going to make an argument for why this is a thing.
Okay.
So when men and women... or I should say what men and women need to de-stress and like activate that parasympathetic nervous system and like feel better is different. And usually women will need connection and will need social interaction and will need to like talk about things to feel better and to kind of calm down.
Men?
Women.
Yeah, women. Okay.
And men, in order to like for like their hormones to kind of like rebalance and you know after a fight or something, need
right.
isolation.
Okay,
so
you
this
feel
is
like
kind of the
to
argument
like...
for what like maybe where or why these man caves kind of or these spaces are ones where men go to kind of hide out because that's kind of what they need. And this is usually after a fight where women are like, I want to talk about it, and the man is like, no, I need space. I need time. That's how they, and then after emotions are, you know, come down and after those hormones get all like balanced out again and feeling
this
more regulated.
This is an elaborate theory.
This is
the article was just like, yeah, cause their stuff stinks. And
yeah,
is
this
loud.
Is what my supervisor told me this in therapy when I was in grad school.
Hmm. Well, yeah. I did find it funny too, though, that like they did a poll, you know, in the first half of the 20th century about hobbies, and boys would say things like, you know, gun collecting and audio, whatever. Yeah. And then the girls would say knitting and rearranging furniture. And I was like, that is embarrassing.
We're just like, you are stuck in the house.
The chairs on the Titanic.
That is exactly what is happening. Yeah. I mean, that's changing though. And you know what I see now is this,
they would just call it something other than rearrange. They'd call it like interior design instead of rearranging the furniture.
Yeah. You mean if men did it?
No. Or, no, like if women were pulled now, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. 100% they would. You know, I also see this boom in people who are interested in like repurposing clothes. And I'm very excited about this.
I love that.
I'm seeing this trend in like the younger kids on TikTok, like going to the thrift store wherever or Salvation Army and getting clothes that, I don't know, look totally different and then sewing them and like,
yeah, reimagining.
Yes. Reimagining, like upcycling. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Upcycling to I hope make something totally new. And I think that they're good because everybody's like fast fashion is terrible. And
not everybody, Sarah, that's the problem. Like there's a vocal minority that are described that I would describe like you're saying, but most people are buying $3 shirts from Shine.
Oh my God.
And all those other places.
Stop doing that.
Stop.
Like for real people, I really want you to think about this. It's a big problem.
It is. I know.
And I know I was there. I filled up my whole cart and I was like, this is so much cheaper. I can get 20 items for the same price as one of the thing that it is garbage
and garbage. I don't know why people
destroying
like
it. The plant and it is not supporting people being treated fairly or ethically. Ugh, it just, I can't go back. Can't. I got to hold myself to a higher standard now because I know things.
So. I know, but yeah. I hope it does spread and I hope it becomes most people because it will eventually out of necessity. So, because you can't do this forever.
Yeah. And you know, another thing on that hobbies, because what I did see after the pandemic is a boom of women in like construction, like they're doing more like fix it stuff around the house. Well, I think they got real restless. Trouble with that one word for all of a sudden. Restless what, and...
What annoyed me, though, about the article was that at the end, and it was based on a scholar last named Maines who had written a book about it. But the article sort of ended by saying, like, we should encourage, you know, girls to have hobbies that are stinky and loud and dangerous, too. And I'm like, okay, fine. But why aren't you encouraging men to get their asses in the kitchen and make me a sandwich? It's always like this where they're like, you should, you know, remove certain words from your emails, like just, you know, I was just checking it. Like, maybe we're supposed to talk like men.
Right.
Why don't we ask them to be a little more polite, Sarah?
Yeah.
That's what I want
to know. I do have a man who gets in the kitchen and makes me more than just a sandwich. And so, you know, I can't say that, you know, I have that same problem. He's very in touch with his feminine side. So I'm lucky in that way.
Yeah. But I just feel like maybe encouraging the collective would be great.
Absolutely.
Ma'am.
Everybody. And yeah, I saw a little boy who's an amazing knitter and they did a whole, like one of those 60 second doc like little clip things on him. And he's just so adorable and he loves knitting and he wants to be a surgeon when he grows up. And he said, being really good at knitting is helping train the muscles in his hand to be a surgeon.
Wow. This guy's got a plan.
Yeah. He was so cute. Oh
man. Well, let's wind it down. I could have used a surgeon the other day.
Oh my God. I will never forget. I have created now my own visual of, you know, that song, On Top of a Smoky, I lost my poor meatball. I imagine your
off the table
finger rolling off like that.
It was for real, like that office scene when there's a fire and they like throw that cat into the ceiling and stuff.
Yes.
That's what my kitchen was like when this happened. Cause like, I'm, you know, trying to stop the bleeding and find him, whatever. And Lincoln screaming, like, Adam had to direct his attention to Lincoln.
Right.
Because he was losing his marbles.
He's going to have a meltdown and you're going to have two injured people.
It's happening. It's happening.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. I'm so sorry. I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you didn't have to. I'm glad you didn't chop off more.
Yeah, but could have been worse.
Oh, God.
It's Sarah's birthday month, and that's exciting. We'll see what her birthday brings, powder or no powder.
Oh, powder.
Subject documentary was really good. Maybe it'll be a Candy Club pick. ESPN is in the penalty box. That's what I know.
Red card.
Yeah, red card. Yeah. What are you doing?
Flag on the play.
I would love to. I don't know how long they got away with it. So maybe that 37.
Yeah, like I really want to know. It's like maybe the same four guys that they keep on having. Like,
they have said like tons of Emmys. Oh my God.
You know?
If you're naming apartments or cannabis, you might as well just pick whatever because nobody cares.
Right.
And you get the gist. Thank you, as always, for using our codes and leaving nice
reviews. I used
one
just this morning.
What'd you buy?
Some stuff. I bought a caraway pan.
Oh, I'm telling you, because right before we started, she said she was got the frying pan. It will change your whole life.
I'm so excited. I know. Well, I already have the Dutch oven, and so now I got
this. It's unbelievable. The eggs just slide all over. It's like slippery.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.